I better start speaking in French.
You better start shaking the penny pan.
Yeah. You hear what I'm telling you? Now they call us the angry phones, Mosey.
All right. You know what? While I get the time, I'm going to pay some commercials. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get back. By then, the two gentlemen should have logged in then. All right? So stay tuned to West Indian Rhythms on CKUT 90.3 FM. Listen
Pick
kindly.
Up the tree, decorate the tree, make a gift list, invite the in-laws, drop off the canned goods, find that fruitcake recipe for the office party, plan the dinner for Christmas Eve, decorate the house, hang the stockings, wrap the presents, ask Lucas to clean up his room, do the groceries, bake cookies. Right, go get vaccinated.
The holidays are fast approaching. Get vaccinated against COVID-19 now so you'll be protected in time. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Jawan Music Festival cultural event presents you the 25th anniversary of Jawan Wood's Clothing Line. And the celebration goes down Saturday, December 10th, inside the Caribbean Food Factory and featuring live from Jamaica, Loot and Fire.
Sometimes it's gone too deep.
Loot and Fire.
I feel like skank. No. Skank to the reggae.
The Jawan Music Festival cultural event celebrating 25 years of Jawan Woods Clothing with Loot and Fire live out of Jamaica. You can't afford to miss it. Be there.
I hope this man is in town. He's on the Zoom somewhere. If not, we're gonna Where are my rum and coke? Where's my rum and coke?
Let them in. They're on.
Oh, they're on?
Yeah, let them in.
Oh, I didn't see them. Let me get this thing. Oh, sorry about that. I hope they're not mad at me and don't offer me no more rum. I'm letting in everybody. That's the thing. You're doing this thing here.
They're in.
All right.
Let me,
hear me?
Let me. Yeah, I'm hearing you. You're who? Rum or you're the coke?
I am the coke. The part of the rum and coke group. That's right.
All right, so we, if you're the coke, we need the rum. You know, we have to chase our thing.
Yeah.
Good.
Exactly. The rum should be joining shortly.
All right.
Which comes first, the rum or the coke?
That's a good question. Usually the rum and then the coke is added as a chaser.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, so the coke is added as a chaser. You like how he said that?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
The coke is the mixer.
Otherwise, it would be coke and rum.
Exactly. Oh. So the main ingredient is the rum.
Oh.
The coke is just the chaser to make it palatable.
Oh. Okay.
Stretch, yes. You see what's happening here?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Trouble.
You have rum and coke in a plastic bag, in a red plastic bag at the back of it.
I saw it.
In Barbados, that's called an alcoholic sucker bubby.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What?
I see.
You know what? I'm a Jamaican, so I'm just going to sit back and listen to you guys harass these two gentlemen and that lady sitting across there. So all three of you just harass rum and coke. Let me hear. What kind of bubby? What kind of bubby?
A sucker bubby is Kool-Aid tied up in a plastic bag.
You can tell me anything, Drew. Anything you can tell the Jamaican, because you know we kind of stupid. But,
it's tied bubby, up in a red plastic bag.
A red what?
A red plastic bag.
I give up. Oh, no, the two of you, everybody in, talk to the guests because I might go to this thing because I want thinking about it. But, yeah. I ain't touching that. How are you doing, sir? Gentlemen, how are you?
Let me
good,
thanks.
Fine, man.
Good.
Thank
you. And you,
hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
I am good. Man. I'm very good. All right. Could the lady introduce herself to the two fine gentlemen?
Okay. You must know me by now. I've been harassing you all week.
Pretty much.
And even telling you, come on now. When I say now, I mean no.
Oh, my God.
You're a typical Bayesian woman.
Yes.
We are introducing the rum and coke. Well, I see a coke without the rum.
That's right. Rum will come shortly.
Let me get this here straight and put up the colors because, you know, people become drunk and all them kind of things. So let me make sure I have this thing correctly now. And we have Your Excellency, Dr. Stetson Wiltshire, a.k.a.
Do me a favor. The sound engineer is asking me to tell you not to rock. I know you're getting excited and all that.
Yeah, man. I have to rock, you know what I'm saying?
No, if you rock, then the voice not coming out clear, and then we don't understand. And I might go quote you and say you said this and said that when you didn't say this or that. So be careful now. Straighten up yourself, shoulders square,
okay.
And...
You're going to get this again. Okay. His Excellency,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Stetson Wiltshire,
mm-hmm.
also known as Red Plastic
Bag.
Mr.
Red Plastic Bag.
All right.
Good evening, all.
On my left here on my screen is Simon Aline, aka Simon Aline, aka Rum. Okay,
you start make mistake already. It's Cook.
Rum said he's standing by. Rum is standing by in the waiting room, so you can let him in, please.
Oh, he's.
Crispin Hackett. So we got to let Rum now.
You can let him in.
I let in everybody who can.
On the right hand side, we have the ice. Because you see, the rum and the coke, and then we have the ice, which is the Barbados House President, Madam Cynthia Waith. See? She's the ice, okay? The rum and coke. All right? So I'm trying to introduce everybody so that we will get everything, you know, and get this. Get this party started.
Okay, let me start the party because I am going to sit back after this.
Okay.
My question is to Red Plastic Bag. Now, honestly, I've met the gentleman many years ago, many moons ago when he came here. But my question to you, sir, because I know if I had this name in Jamaica, I would be doing a lot of fight. How did you get the name Plastic Bag? Where were they find you in a plastic bag doing what? How did that come about?
For some reason, I felt that this would have been the first question for me. It always is the first question for me. I guess in Jamaica, it would be called Scandal Bag, right?
Right. You know your thing. Yes.
Right. But when I was preparing for my first competition in 1979 in St. Philip,
mm-hmm.
They wanted to have five people in the competition. They had four, and I decided to enter the competition to make the fifth person. And I had no stage name. I didn't want to go with Stetson Wiltshire. I mean, on stage, it just wouldn't work, right? And you know, of course, back in the day, as Calypsonians, you needed a name.
Right.
So I went to the beach, and because of my complexion, I came back all burnt in the sun.
Right.
And a nephew looked at me, and he said, "You look like a red plastic." And I found it hilarious. And I said to myself, you know what? I actually like that name because it's a color you can identify with. You can actually wave a bag. And I went with it. And if I had to go back to 1979, now I think I'd choose the name again.
Yeah, I think it's unique and funny because every time I hear it, there's a smile that goes on my face. And I think it's very unique.
Yeah, especially... knowing that Calypsonians are like Lord somebody, King somebody, the mighty somebody, red plastic bag seems almost insignificant.
Yes.
So it worked for me.
All right.
No pressure.
That's one of my questions. Now I'm going to leave you to the rest of the Bajan assassin squad from Montreal.
Can I say good afternoon? Good afternoon, gentlemen. Mr. Rum, Mr. Coke, and the legendary Mr. Red Plastic Bag. Montreal, if you guys are now tuning in, remember that these gentlemen all will be in Montreal to celebrate Barbados Independence, an event that's called We Rise Together. It's all happening Saturday, December the 3rd, over there at the Hampton Inn in Adorval. You know what I mean? You can check out all your social media. Look it up. You could get your tickets. Tickets are moving pretty fast. I think this event is just about to be sold out. Tickets are $100 in advance. It's the banquet, the comedy show, and the big performance and the after party. You know what I mean? Here we have Mr. Rum and Coke. I'm not going to go to Mr. Red Plastic Bag right now because I know so much about you. We spoke so many times, but you know what I mean? Rum and Coke.
Dangerous.
I grew up in Barbados with Matt Fingal, Trevor Eastman, and Mad. I remember returning, I think it was in the 2000s, and going to the gymnasium and seeing you guys on stage. And I'm like, who is this Rum and Coke? This Rum and Coke? How did you guys come up with this thing?
Okay, I just want to say a good evening to everyone who is listening and locked on. A special good evening to the president and the members of the executive and members of Barbados House Montreal. So the journey of Rum and Coke began just over 7 years ago when we were members of a comedic satirical group called Laugh It Off. So we are former members of Laugh It Off. We met at Laugh It Off. We were cast members. We performed on stage and we recognized that we had a synergy. I recognized that myself and Crispin, we had comedic timing. And one of the things we said, you know, it would be good to actually have our own comedy group to do our own type of comedy. And the kind of comedy that Rum and Coke does is skits-based comedy. So we don't tell jokes, we show jokes. Wow. So we go beyond just standing up with microphone, talking to our audience. We actually bring another dimension to comedy by having a comedic performance. So you have hilarious situations and scenarios that we bring to life. The difference between men and women, relationship issues, issues regarding mental health as well, we cover in our wide range of skits.
That's nice. So how did you guys decided after Laugh It Off, you decided to work together as a team. Were you Rum and Coke and Laugh It Off, or that's the name that you guys came up with after Laugh It Off?
Well actually, if Crispin is, I think he's on, I would like him to share a little bit about how we got our name. There's always a little story that we talk about when we get our name. Chris,
yeah, I'm here. Everyone can hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Okay, good. So, yeah, that's true, following up from what Simon said. And one day we were actually backstage making some jokes and so on. And then we said, you know, we should go and try something, you know, try something as two persons doing comedy. And I said, okay, no problem. And he says, what would we call ourselves? And he said, well, we could call ourselves Rum and Coke. I think we were having a drink at that time. And I said, well, that sounds good, boy. But the only thing is that obviously, you know, you would have to be the Coke. You're a lot darker than I am. And I would have to be the Rum. And so said, so then. And then after that, that's where it took off from there. And it actually worked out quite well because, you know, Rum and Coke is a mixture that's known all over the world. You could go in Germany, we'll call it a Coke and Rum or somewhere else, but everybody knows that that's a general mixture. So we tend to say we serve up comedy from the way we dress and carry ourselves. That's what we're here to do. So, yeah. Following up from that, then the last part is that we were on a trip and we drove over to another state. We sat on a TGI and opened the drinks menu. And right there was Rum and Coke. Barbados has really page landed on. Randomly opening it. And then, you know, we said, okay, well, we can go with this.
And it was on off. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so basically you guys were having a drink and you came up with that name, Rum and Coke.
Pretty much.
Yes.
So basically, if you guys were at dinner, you would have probably named Cocoa Flying Fish.
That's kind of a bit far. It'd probably be steak and mash. Jacket potato. Steak and mash.
So what could Montreal, for people that never saw you guys before, you know what I mean? Because myself and I guess a lot of Bajans and people from different Caribbean islands, because I know that you guys been doing a lot of touring lately, you know what I mean? So people that have not seen you guys before, what could they look forward for from Rum and Coke coming Saturday, December the 3rd?
I think, Drew, the first thing that they need to do is to go to the bathroom and empty the bladder. That's the first thing. Empty your bladder first. Come back and sit down in your chairs and prepare to laugh. For those of you who, for the Jamaicans, think about IT and Fantasy Cat and Oliver Samuels.
Yeah.
So that's it. So think about that style of comedy. That's what we do. We do skits and we move comedy.
I was just thinking earlier on when you said you do you don't give jokes. You show them the joke, and like IT and Fancy Cat, you know.
Yeah. The skits.
Yes. And that's nice. But what I wanna know, I heard, was it the rum that comes after the coke? Because I gotta get my rum and coke thing straightened, you know. Or the rum is first?
And the coke is the mixer. You have a rum and coke. So the rum is the base.
So you're the sweet boy then. You're the sweet one then, the sweet boy.
I'm the mixer.
All right.
I'm the coke.
Now we know. When I come to Barbados, I said the man from Barbados tell me he's the mixer, so I want my rum now. You know what I mean? Very good. Go ahead. I just jumping in. The lady has nothing to say.
I know that you guys have been in the Grenada sometime in the summer. How was that reception? You know what I mean? Going into the different, you know, because everybody loves to say, oh, you know, the Bajans, they talk like they're singing. You know what I mean? Right. So how is it when you guys go to different Caribbean islands like Grenada or maybe even Jamaica? How is it accepted?
Well, let me jump in there before you're saying what you're saying, Simon. And Baggy, you would be testimony to this too as well, right?
That's right.
If you can perform for a Barbadian audience, and if you can perform for a Trinidadian audience,
you can perform it.
You can perform anywhere else in the world.
Anywhere.
Because, Trinidad don't play. And, you know, when they don't like you on the stage, they let you know. So, when we first actually started this Rum and Coke, our first six shows was in Trinidad, 2 weekends back to back. And we were able to hold our own. And then from there, that's where we catapulted onto the scene. But in relation to your question about Grenada was quite emotional for us because we received an ovation after our performance because we really researched what we were doing in particular.
That's right.
And it was hot off the election press, and we took the bold step to do a couple pieces based on elections. Mm-hmm. And people were so, I guess, impressed by it that, you know, we were so well researched that we received an ovation from the entire stadium, both levels, top and bottom. So it was a bit emotional for us in Grenada a month before.
Right. I just want to say, please, I think Cynthia Barbados out. She was out of the chat. No, she's trying to get back in.
So you got to let her in.
Barbados out, yeah.
In the meantime, let me ask Ramon Cook some questions here. How did you guys, how long you guys knew each other?
Oh, we knew each other for more than 10 years, I think. I would say it's about that.
Okay, so how long you been doing this Rum and Coke skit together?
Oh, I would say going 7 years, 2016.
Yes.
Yeah, next year will be 7 years.
Okay, so you started this Rum and Coke as I leave Barbados. I was in Barbados in 2015. So you wait till I leave to have your drinks.
That's it, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much, but at least the drinks are coming to you.
Okay. Did you guys meet as friends, or you guys went to school together? How did this whole thing started coming
about? Laugh It Off. I think for us, we were, as being members of Laugh It Off, the comedy show here in Barbados, and working together and building up that energy, that synergy, that comedic relationship, we decided to take it to another level.
Great.
What we did is that, you know, we met, we talked, we discussed things, and then we moved towards saying, you know what, let's do our own brand or style of comedy that is unique to us. And we were so grateful that audiences across the region, in North America as well, enjoy the style of comedy that we do.
Wonderful. You know, I always give the props to the young people when they take the ball and run with it. Because this is the way you're supposed to do things, you know. The seniors have to say, okay, it's time for us to step down and let the young people take over. It's the same thing we did for Barbados House, as our lovely president just came back on. We decide to let the young people do their thing. And you know what? It works.
Yes, I can agree with that. I think that the main thing right now in society, and that's one of the things that we need to have, mentorship is very important. Don't think that because the older folks are taking a secondary role and may not be leading up front, it doesn't mean that their contribution is not, valuable. What it means then is that the younger people who are at the helm, they have the energy, they have the ideas, but they still need your input. They still need your support to get the job done. So yeah, I just want to commend Cynthia for Barbados South. Mm-hmm. The work that they're doing. I attended the Bajan Lime that was at the playing field. It was nice. The park, it was great. I heard that y'all guys had a really good Bin Spring. I think that was either earlier this year or last year. Drew, early this year?
Earlier this year.
Right, early this year. So you had like this is the third major event that Barbados House is putting on with the assistance from BTMI and so on. So we're grateful. We're grateful that we have a Barbadian organization that is still championing the cause of Barbadians and Caribbean people in Montreal.
And getting back to the seniors, I mean, like, you have
like Drew?
Seniors. Oh, yeah, Drew. Drew likes stale bread. He just, you know, he just look young. So maybe you see him fair, so he likes stale bread. What I'm saying is that, you know, the seniors pass on their experiences to the younger generation. And you know, like, it's just like a child. You have a child, and then when the child reaches a certain age, you know, they spread the wings and fly and get their own experience. But they always know they can come back to the parents and say, well, should I do this that way? Should I do it this way? Same thing with the seniors that, you know, has been there before you. You always know that you can call on them and say, well,
I agree.
Am I doing this right or am I doing this wrong? You know, what do you think about the skit or whatever you think about that skit or that song or whatever? And they're there because, you know, you're standing on their shoulders. They're there.
Right.
You know, so I want to congratulate both of you because you seem to be doing quite a marvelous job, and continue. It's good for you. Back to you, Drew, or stale bread, should I call it?
Yeah, you could call me anything.
Wait.
As Stretch would say, just don't call me Colette.
Call
me anything.
I would like to hear. Anyway, you know what? I'll save the best for last. I ain't going to tell you.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
Miss Barbados House and Mr. You know who it is. All right. Mm-hmm. They will be chatting.
Mr. Red Plastic Bag.
Leave Mr. Red Plastic Bag. He's coming on now in the next 5 minutes.
Okay. So I'm going to back out of that one.
You and Jewel Jones finish beating up on these rum and coke. Next thing they'll turn into brandy. You know what I mean? So question them now. Let's hear some questions. Good. Coming out of Barbados.
So tell us a little bit about Barbados, and for people that haven't been there in a while or who haven't been there at all.
Leave the people and politics alone in Barbados.
I'm not going there. I'm just talking about the beautiful stuff that I have seen there. I watch YouTube whenever it's on, and I watch all the beautiful. Look what you did to Queen's Park. It's so beautiful. I can't wait to come. And the wall, boy.
I think right now in Barbados is on the move. Despite the challenges economically and coming out of COVID, that 2-year period where there was not much economic growth, we are still grateful to see that because of visionary leadership in our Prime Minister, Mia Motley, she has been able to
Can I stop you there a second? Can I stop you there?
No politics.
Can I stop you there a second? I think your prime minister is one of the best premier we have seen in the Caribbean in a long
time. We know that. Thank you.
Long.
We know that. Thank you.
Long. Long time. Every one of our speeches, I have it here on my computer. I totally enjoy listening to her.
But people across the world. So I think that if 1,000 Frenchmen are telling you that you are a visionary leader, I think it is safe to say that, well, she is a visionary leader. But besides that, I think the main thing is that the call for Barbadians and Caribbean people to preserve their identity, to hang on to the things that make them unique. I mean, when we study Jamaica and all the exploits in terms of music, sports, cricket, and so on, all of us, we have a shared history coming from slavery and the plantation system. But I think it is up to us as a people to identify or to choose the destiny that we want. And I think it's very important for us to continue to reach out to those of you in the diaspora, Jewel and Andrew and all of you in the diaspora, Cynthia, who are out there. It's very important that you continue to show a love for Barbados, because at the end of the day, we are you and you are us. So we love you.
Damn.
And I think that one of the things I would like to see happening for the future, if I may say so, for 2023, 2024, it would be good to have an event that is based in both Barbados and Montreal to bring both Bajans, second generation Bajans, whatever, into Barbados and rep Bajans to come up to Canada. So I think that I leave that to you, Drew, and the rest of your team to get that ready. And to you too, Cynthia, you've been very quiet on the call. What are your views on that?
You know, just a minute there, Cynthia. You know, you just convinced me. I need my Bajan passport next week, okay?
So yes. Talk to Cynthia.
Cynthia, I'm coming
to the president.
You convinced me, brother.
President.
Amen. You convinced me. Beautiful presentation. Go ahead,
welcome,
my dear.
Man. You're welcome.
And Cynthia also went to the wall in Barbados. I see her standing by the wall, posing in her shorts. I was so jealous.
Cynthia, let me tell you a little secret. Don't post nothing on Facebook, make Jewel Jones see it, because it's all over the world.
Share it. And I see this girl. I said, what? That is the president of the Barbados House? I said, whoa, look at the legs on this girl. Wow. And I posted it. So tell me about that wall.
For me, it was very inspirational to see my history on that wall.
Wow.
Ancestors, the names of my ancestors on there, it touched me greatly. Wow. And I would recommend anyone who goes back home, that should be one of your stops that you make.
What wall is this? I don't think, is that a wall of China?
This
is
the
Golden Square. So there's a monument in Barbados that it was the vision of the Prime Minister, our current Prime Minister, called Golden Square Freedom Park. So we have the Golden Square Freedom Park. Historically, Golden Square was where Clement Paine, one of our national heroes, who was a trade unionist and labor rights person, he would have had a lot of presentations, or should I say speeches, given in Golden Square. So to commemorate not only Clement Paine, one of our national heroes, but also to get people more aware about their history, it was decided to have that wall. The wall has all the last names of lots of Barbadian families. So we have the last names of the white families, black families, Indians, everybody is on that wall. So usually people come and they take a picture with the last names of their relatives. So my parents' last name is Aline. My mother is a Bell. So I can find Bell. That's her maiden name. I can find Aline with my father on the wall and so on.
Man.
So Drew, when you come in, you got to check it out.
No, when I come, you'll be my guide.
Of course. And you too, Jewel. When you come into Barbados,
okay,
check it out.
Well, I hope to build another wall, because when you want to name it Jones.
Jones is there for sure.
Listen, between you three, I won't. This poor lady, the president of Barbados House, won't get to ask.
She's so quiet.
Go ahead, fire off your question to you know who, the Californian.
Cynthia.
For me, I am just thrilled that we have this opportunity in Montreal for the very first time to have such a great lineup of entertainers coming in from Barbados so we can show off our Bajan pride right here on the island of Montreal. We are an island, and we are proud Barbadians that live here, and we're so happy to have this event coming up. So I'm just very grateful for all the entertainers that are going to be coming up to support us and just share in the great year end of this year that we had.
You don't have
great, great.
You don't have.
And that's December 3rd.
You don't have
December 3rd.
You don't have a question for the Calypsonian red plastic bag.
Well, my question would be, what would be something in regards to your favorite experience as an entertainer? What was your favorite experience that you had?
Well, first of all, just thanks to Bobby Dessals for inviting me to be part of this event. I'm always very excited when people in the diaspora do these events and continue to highlight who we are as a people in the diaspora. I see all of you as ambassadors for whatever country you're from in the Caribbean. And my entire career has been rooted more or less in performing in the diaspora. And I get very excited when I am doing events in the diaspora because I know how important it is to continue to promote who we are as a people from this region. I've had many exciting moments in my career.
Excuse me for a minute, Red Plastic Bag. Number 8, please mute yourself. Thank you. Okay, go on.
Right. I've had many exciting moments in my career, but there's a moment that stands out really, and that was performing for the first time at Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden is a place that, you know, we would have watched so many events, boxing, a whole lot of things would have been going on in Madison Square Garden at the time. And in the days of Raga Raga, when I came on stage to perform, every single person in the auditorium was on their feet. And it felt as if, you know, it was special. And performing this song and hearing everybody singing this song, it was quite moving. And that stands up for me because I came from quite humble beginnings. And, you know, my mind was like, here it is that this little boy from Bayfield performing in an arena like Madison Square Garden, and people are standing and singing this song. And knowing that it was a song recorded in Barbados, everything created in Barbados for the song, Raga Raga, it was a special moment. And that has been a moment that stood out. Another one is performing at Radio City Music Hall and singing all the names of some of the most popular performers of the world, the Michael Jacksons and all them. And to be able to be in a space like that was quite moving. So, but for me, special moments are always when I see people enjoying themselves. I am in the business of making people happy. I'm in the business of seeing people smiling. I love to see people enjoying the music because I see myself as a representative of the masses, especially those from the low socioeconomic bracket. And when I see people enjoying the music and smiling, it means a whole lot to me.
Nice. You know, one question I have, the veterans like yourself, you have laid down the track for the younger ones to follow. Let me ask it this way. What are your dreams? You know, I just laid one part of it that you want to see the younger ones follow you. Will we have a red plastic bag, say, 10 years from now or not?
I want to continue performing. I want to continue doing the work that I do. I've always said that I didn't choose music. It chose me because I never saw myself as being on stage I entered the competition simply because they wanted 5 people in the competition and they only had 4. And then I went into a national competition coming out of winning that competition for 3 consecutive years. And my life changed forever. And I believe that, you know, there was a higher force beating a drum for me, you know, on a path for me to walk. So I want to continue doing what I am doing. But most of all, I want to see the art form of Calypso continue to grow. I would love to see one day that Calypso music be recognized at the Grammys. Of course, it is going to it's going to take some work. I believe that soca music in itself has all the ingredients to go mainstream. It has not yet gone mainstream, in my opinion. There's some songs that would have been played on international radio, but not enough. So I think that we have to work hard in producing music that can stand the test on the international market. I would love to see that. I also want to see more young people being involved in the music as well. And I heard you speaking earlier about youngsters coming into the fray. That's very important for sustainability of the arts in general. But, you know, art is expression. And there's no blueprint to art. So what we as older people in the arts need to do is to encourage and not necessarily say, you know, you need to do this or you need to do that or you need to do the next, but more to give support and allow young people to express themselves, because the way a young person may express themselves is going to be different. We all walk differently. We talk differently, you know. So it is all about giving the encouragement to allow people to express themselves. And there's a lot of talk about bashment now. I know you've heard about bashment.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that we have to allow people to express themselves. And censorship of music and all that is something. That's another discussion that we can have. But I believe that young people must be allowed a space to express themselves.
Good.
Agreed.
Can I jump in for 1 second? Sure. I know you talk about soca being part of the Grammys. What do you think is missing from soca to make that jump internationally? When you look at something like Afrobeats, it's been around forever, but within the last, I'll say, 5 years, 5, 6 years, they really took over the mainstream. So what do you think that soca is missing?
I think it's the content. I believe that because of the fact that our soca music is linked to carnivals, most of the music is about jam and wine. And can you imagine some person in the winter in a state like Minnesota, and you're telling them to wine and go down to the ground and jump up and put your hand in the air? You need to tell them to get a coat, you know? I believe strongly that we need to broaden the topics. And the problem is that the festivals are driving the music. It has to be the other way around. The music has to drive the festivals so that topics be broader. We can sing about love.
We can
sing about clouds. We can sing about... And that, in my opinion, would allow the music to give the music more breath in terms of the topics. And then, you know, maybe on the international market, people will take a look at it. I have a story that I want to tell. It's very short. I was at Medium in 2013. And I took about 50 songs and I sat in front of a guy. I think he was from, he might have been from some affiliate to Sony Music. And he said, you know, I love this music, but this music is summer music. You know, he called it summer music. And I understood what he was saying. He basically said to me that, you know, the music has to be broader. I must be able to go through the seasons. And coming out of that that exhibition in France, I made a song called Roller Coaster, which carried more like a world beat, because not that it didn't have soca in it, but he was pretty much telling me the content of your music has to be broader and it must be appealing to a wider cross-section of people across the world, plain and simple. So I think that is our weakness. We cannot sing about walk up, go down to the ground, hand in the air, jump for every single song. And if you check soca music, during COVID, when people wanted songs that appeal to the emotion, soca music was found lacking.
Well said.
And to me, that is a message and a half. We need to look at the content of the music. So I think that we have an opportunity now. We learned a lot from COVID. We need to go back and look at how we can package our music to promote it on the international market.
All right.
Well, I would say that Raga Raga is one of those songs that I think that's truly international.
As you mentioned, Raga Raga, I have to play that because we have to have a small musical break because of the CRTC rules and regulation. When we're not gone back to Barbados, you know, we have to be here still. So I'm going to play Raga Raga, and guess what? Somebody will have to tell me what they were doing or what they were saying that this thing come up, Raga 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 Raga. All right? Remember, you're locked into CKUT 90.3 FM. And I want to know what certain people were doing. Because the first time I heard this song, it was international to me. I got up and I danced. Red Plastic Bag on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. Good afternoon to you, Washington, D.C., WWFR. Happy birthday, Bobby. That's it, my 30 seconds, 2 minutes, it's gone. I've upheld the laws of this Canadian laws. Now, back to the question. Drew, put on that rum bottle. Is it a rum bottle? But my question is, how did Raga Raga, what did you do? You were sitting there and something was bugging. Raga. Yeah. Raga. All I hear is Raga, Raga. How did that come about, really?
No. It's actually a true story. I was in a nightclub called After Dark way back in the day.
Yeah, I know After Dark.
In the early 90s. And I think at the time, Tiger was extremely popular. And a song came on and everybody in After Dark, well, apart from myself,
see what is.
Singing the song, they were actually singing the song.
Yeah,
and I just couldn't understand what the guy was saying. But everybody is singing the song and dancing to the song. So I actually waited and I said, you know, a song as popular as this, they got to play it again. So I waited for an hour. And then the song came on again. I actually went close to the speaker to listen to the song again. And I still couldn't understand, but the song was such a pulsating song that people were just dancing. And while I was driving, going home, the song just started to come. So I started to compose on my way home, you know, singing about how this music actually sounded to me. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how popular the song got, because when it was released in Barbados, it played, people listened, and, you know, but then it just like faded until it got extremely popular in Trinidad. It was more popular in Trinidad than Barbados at the time, but then it became even more popular in Jamaica.
In Jamaica, yes.
And yeah, I remember touring all over Jamaica with Byron Lee at the time.
Yeah.
And performing in places like Black River and Morant Bay and all these places, singing the song. And it said to me that the popularity of the song in Jamaica indicated that there were some people in Jamaica that agreed with what I was saying, that couldn't understand some of the lingo.
A lot of people, but they're still saying it today. Now the government authority there has banned certain music like that, you know, if people don't understand
violent music and stuff.
But when you listen to some of these songs that are positive, I mean, when you listen, you get a chance to hear some of the content. There's some powerful dancehall songs with some serious content. If you can get it, because some of the lyrics are strong. It's just that sometimes it's difficult to decipher. And the reality is that this song, no matter where I went, even in China, people tried to sing it.
Wow.
I performed the song in China. Chinese were actually singing the song.
It means that
there was something about it. And I think it's a lot to do with the music that Nicholas Barker was able to produce around what I was saying. And I'm happy that it has done so well.
Dr. Wiltshire.
Yes, please.
I want to speak to you regarding the Red Coalition. The Red Coalition Foundation. Could you tell us about that and how it came about?
Well, I have received a lot of support and love from people all over the diaspora. And I felt that it was incumbent upon me to give back. And I called a few friends and said to them, I need to start a foundation. I need to do some charitable work. I need to give back to the community, that to the people who have given me so much support, so much love. So in 2017, I actually started a foundation, and we do a lot of educational stuff. We look after lots of needy people. We have a program we call the Bike Program, funded by the Coalition for Barbadian Organizations in Central Florida. And they provide fully stocked backpacks, and we give them to children who need the basic tools for school. And that program has been going since 2018 and going really well. We are also building out a mentorship program. We have a hamper program. So we do a lot of work. And most of all, we function as a conduit for organizations in the diaspora who may have some difficulty in getting their stuff to the needy people in our community. So that is I'm putting that out there for those people who struggle to get their stuff to the people that need it. That we can also help in helping you to do that. So that's what we're all about. We are about helping. And we had a walk recently where we walked 34 miles from East Point all the way down to North Point, down to St. Lucie, where we asked people to donate towards the walk. And we are going to be giving out hampers for Christmas again.
All right. You wanted to say something?
No, I wanted to go back to his music.
Wait a minute. Let me just get in this, because I would like for somebody to acknowledge, for those of you who are just joining us, we're speaking to artists from from Barbados, and they will be here. When will they be here? Somebody identify the art.
December 3rd.
The artists we have.
We learn to listen before we speak, you know.
Okay.
I want somebody to identify the artist and where they will be appearing, the date and when, and et cetera, et cetera. So jump in now.
Okay. So December the 3rd, actually, President of Barbados South should actually be telling you about this big event, since she's the one that really had it going. So I'm going to let her jump in and tell you all about this marvelous show that we can't wait to see and hear and dance to and meet our artists. So, Madam President of Barbados South, tell us about this big show on December the 3rd in Montreal. On mute, please.
Didn't expect.
Sorry, I put myself on mute because there was a lot of background noise. But
yeah.
It's called, the theme is called Together We Rise. And really, we thought about this theme because of coming out of COVID. A lot of us took a lot of hits during COVID. A lot of things happened. So now is the time that we are coming together and we are rising to this occasion, moving forward into a positive future. So like I said, December 3rd is when we are going to be having this event. It's going to be happening at the Hampton Inn off of TransCanada. And tickets start at $100. And before the 25th of November, we are hoping that everybody will be getting their tickets. We are close to running out. We are almost sold out. So please get your tickets as quickly as possible. After November 25th, the tickets do go up to $120. So we are going to be also having a buffet-style event, and the choices of the meals are going to be chicken, salmon, and vegan. There's going to be lots of door prizes, lots of raffles, but mainly we're going to have lots of entertainment from Rum and Coke, bringing in the comedy from Barbados, and the musical finale is going to be with Red Plastic Bag. So we are thrilled once again. And I just also want to talk about our DJs. We have Drew, who's on this call this evening. And we also have DJ Tuff, Mike Williams, and we have DJ Leslie.
No Jamaicans on the bill?
Well, you're just going to have to come and be your invitation for that night stretch.
I'll walk with my passport. That Drew is going to get for me.
Anyway, well, you have a doctor there that's going to sign it for you.
All right, folks. We have 5 more minutes to go before we say goodbye to the hour. It went by so fast. And we're going to wrap it up. So somebody going to say something. I want to hear what Coke has to say. Did you enjoy meeting us here in Montreal?
Yeah, definitely. I want to say once again a big thank you to the members, the executive of the Barbados South Montreal for hosting us. We do look forward to enjoying a Montreal flavor of Barbadian hospitality.
I love that.
Because recently we were in Los Angeles and we were there with the Barbados Association of Southern California and they took care of us quite well. So we do look forward to enjoying being in Montreal. We look forward to some snow too. So definitely I'll be packing my jacket and boots and all the things that I need. But more importantly, as the theme of the event is Together We Rise, I'm hoping that 2023 will be a brighter year for all of us, not only in Barbados, but across the region and for those of you in the diaspora.
Nice. Oh, who else want to say bye-bye?
Well, I just want to say thanks again. I'm looking forward to being in Montreal. I haven't performed in Montreal for a long time. Mm-hmm. I love the name of the event, Together We Rise. I think that as a region, we have to move together. I think it's more so now than ever. Coming out of COVID, I think it's very important that we bond together, work together, and rise together as a people of the region. And I look forward to performing for all the people of the Caribbean, not only Barbadians. When I come there, you need to, I expect to see West Indian people there, as well, all West Indian people. And I'm looking forward for an exciting evening there. And come out, support it. And I can't wait to feel that cold breeze from Montreal in my face.
No.
It's true.
No.
You sure?
You can handle it, man.
You be a gent.
I know how cold it is. Trust me.
Okay. And let's stop this joke about cold air. We don't want no cold air.
Thank you.
All right. Where's Coke? Coke is there.
Where's the rum?
I'm glad that I like the name of the event and we will make it a great deal, man, for sure. And I think that it's going to be fantastic. Look forward to seeing everyone as we bring a bit of Barbados to Montreal.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anybody else?
Thank you.
I'm definitely looking forward to meeting Rum and Coke. I've met Plastic Bag many times. Not that he's outdated or anything. But I've never met Rum and Coke, and I'm looking forward to to see what Rum and Coke is all about. Okay, yeah. But I know that our main attraction is going to be the doctor over here. I'm watching my mouth because I have to say doctor all the time, you know, even though he's red plastic bag. But
also Plastico Rojo.
Oh, you're Plastico Rojo. Okay, so you're Plastico Rojo. So you're turning into Italian now.
Spanish.
Oh, God.
I think that you're in for a fantastic evening for Rum and Coke. Those of you who don't know of Rum and Coke, I'm telling you, this is a fantastic group. I'm excited about these young people who are doing exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. And trust me, they're high quality. And you're going to have a great time listening to Rum and Coke on December 3rd.
All right, good people. I really have to go. It's 5 minutes to the hour of 6 o'clock, and we have to get into the reggae music because I don't want nobody beat me up when I leave here, okay? So they're going to say, no, you get beige and passport, you don't remember me. One last word, Drew. One last word, quick.
All I got to say is Montreal, all my Bajan, all my Caribbean people, it's all happening. Saturday, December the 3rd, Rum and Coke from Barbados, Red Plastic Bag from Barbados. All my Bajan people, we're going to be celebrating our independence. And I invite all my other Caribbean people to come out and celebrate with us. And it's going to be a fantastic evening. I look forward to seeing all you guys there.
All right. I just want to say on behalf of CKUT 90.3 FM, I just want to thank you all. This hour went by so fast. It's a Bajan hour. It should have been a Jamaican hour. We would still be here for the next 2 hours. And I just want to say many thanks. Many, many, many all thanks right. to thanks, all of you. Rum and Coke. Me love the name, you know. Rum and Coke to Rasta. Yes, sir.
Yes,
all right. So enjoy yourselves, enjoy your stay, and I hope I get to see you guys when you come here. And Mr. Plastic
Bag.
Doctor, Stretch, can I make one request, please?
No, man, no. You make too
just
much
just one
requests.
Request.
But it's because your name Drew and you're going to give me some free food next week. You can make a request.
Well, I just want to request you guys coming from Barbados. I love turnovers. And is it possible for you guys? Is it possible for someone to find me turnovers
me
that have
too.
Coconut?
Oh.
Yeah. Find me turnovers
well,
that have some
that coconut.
Coconut? Yeah, because when you go to the bakery in Barbados, there's two sets of coconuts. You know, the coconuts with
turnovers
with coconuts, and the turnovers without coconuts. Because I think they use coconut water now to make turnovers.
I won't have you say that.
Because you cannot find any coconut in the turnovers anymore.
Oh, it must be a vegan coconut turnover. That's why. It's a vegan turnover.
I think so. But if you guys find a bakery that has turnovers with coconut, lots of coconut, could you please bring me 6?
Oh, you're
pushing it now. You think they can bring 4 for you?
Four.
I will live with 4. Even 2.
You know, in Jamaica, they have a saying, "Uno come off 5 people in radio," all right? Bye.
26th of November.
Bye, everybody.
Take care. Award-winning Nova Scotia funeral director turned songwriter Tara Spencer and explosive special guest Ben Kaplan are pairing up for one night only in Montreal to celebrate the release of their brand new joint album, Old News. Written by Tara and produced by Ben, this collection of songs is a tender and cheeky portrait of the art of saying goodbye, captured with live off-the-floor energy. Please join us at Montreal's beloved music venue, URSA, located at 5589 Park Avenue at the corner of Saint-Viateur, on Saturday the 26th of November for this very special and intimate show. Doors are at 6:30 with delicious food and drinks available. Show is at 8 and tickets are $17. For tickets, links, and more information on this show and others, please visit us at ursamtl.com and on Facebook and Instagram at ursamtl, a CKUT co-presentation.
The Montreal International Documentary Festival is celebrating its 25th edition, a unique opportunity to enjoy the best documentary films from all around the world.
This fall, the RIDM returns exclusively to theaters and venues with screenings, festivities, and much more.
See you from November 17th to the 27th.
Discover the full program at RIDM.ca.
The RIDM, where all stories meet.
One, two. Once again, a pleasant good afternoon to you all. It's with heavy sadness I learned a few minutes ago of the passing of another one of our classy, physically beautiful and decent females from our hometown of Maypen, Clarendon in Jamaica. Yes, a Madge Steele, who later became Madge Steele Keen, passed away last Tuesday. My condolences goes out to all members of her family and the Maypen family also. May her dear soul rest in peace. And this is coming to you from Sydney Brown in Toronto, Canada. Howard Carr, known to most of my friends in Maypen as Anxious. I won't explain that, but it's the dear Madge Steele, one of the finest young ladies we had in the city of Montreal. Kenny G, Forever in Love. Forever in love.